because the root determines the fruit, always. The root, if it's unhealthy, the root, again, will produce the fruit. That's why Jesus says in John 15:8, but this my Father's glorified, that you bear much fruit and proof. See, this is good for all of us to look at right now. Jesus is like, here's how you prove you are genuinely my disciple. Fruit, much of it.
Good day to you, Live in the Light listeners. Shannon in studio here with Pastor Robbie today, and we are winding down the Sermon on the Mount. Just a few more verses left in our series on the greatest sermon ever given. And today we've landed in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Today's message is called Beware of False Prophets. And it's near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, but Jesus is not taking his foot off the gas for sure. Today's message is packed full of truth on a heavy topic. I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with the concept of false prophets, but do they directly impact the life of a believer today? Is this even something we need to worry about?
The answer is yes. It's a big yes. In fact, man, the way that Satan moves around in deception and deceiving people over and over again to watch out for false prophets. I mean, in many ways too, the church is under attack as much as ever. The messages and the confusion. And so that's why, again, even here, Live in the Light, we are dedicated as much as we can by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring the truth with integrity and honesty, and we pray accuracy. It's so, so needed as much as ever in the church in this nation right now. And so that's why Jesus says what he says. So Shannon, to answer your question again, absolutely 100% yes, we must beware of false teachers and then run towards that which is true and right and righteous and clear and pure. So Jesus is going to help us today with that, and we pray that we would be encouraged and then motivated to keep praying that God would raise up, again, preachers of the word who love him with integrity and honesty. May it be so.
Yes, agree. So let's listen today with hearts and Bibles open to Matthew 7, verse 15. Here's Pastor Robbie.
Please open your Bibles. You need a Bible today. Matthew chapter 7. You need a Bible every time we gather. So that'll be clear today as well. Our sermon title today is this, Beware of False Prophets. How's that for a Mother's Day message? Beware of false prophets, all right? Now, I will say this though, okay? So pretty atypical for Mother's Day. However, I will say this, the attack on our children has never been greater than in this nation. So to have mothers and women who are filled with discernment, of course, everyone, men, women, children, but today to have mothers that are filled with wisdom and discernment and guarding truth and the importance of understanding what the word says and prayer and in vigilance, again, from evil attacking, again, homes or lives. I mean, this is absolutely critical, and this is very, very relevant in that regard. And of course, it's so relevant for all of us here as well who call ourselves, again, true disciples of Jesus Christ. So in Matthew 7, in this passage, Jesus, we know, is nearing the end of the Sermon of the Mount. And he's a really good preacher, Jesus is. I mean, amen. He just really knows what he's doing. And what he does as the sermon ends here is he ramps up his seriousness, but he also ramps up his severity. So interesting to me, because in our day, man, there's so much fluff in teaching and the church can be so weak and we're so afraid to offend and we're just scared of saying anything that might be remotely controversial or may make anyone feel uncomfortable. Jesus, he's not concerned with that. He's concerned with loving the people in truth that goes along with, again, his grace. So I always want us to remember too that a proper and biblical understanding of Jesus as defined by Scripture is Jesus was full of grace and truth. Yes, I need all of you to be picking up on what that truth is right there, that John 1:14, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And listen, by the way, this is how we define biblical love. Biblical love is grace, but it is grace and truth. I mean, in this whole section here, guys, what are you doing? Like, jump on the party. This is good stuff. We need to know this, be able to understand this. Again, true biblical love involves grace, yes, but absolutely truth as well. In our day, hasn't always been this way, but in our day, certainly the last generation, the grace of Jesus Christ is often upheld and highlighted, and it should be. I mean, the grace of Jesus Christ is astoundingly beautiful, critical, essential, and marvelously wonder. Where would we be without the grace of Jesus Christ? My goodness. I mean, we desperately, desperately need the grace of Jesus Christ. However, along with the grace of Jesus comes the truth of Jesus. Because without the truth, we can't be saved. If all you do is pour in grace and there's no understanding why you need that grace, you won't be saved. You can't be saved. The truth is understanding we are sinners, desperately in need of the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. We are dead without Jesus Christ. So the truth sets up the glory of the grace that is found in the gift of Jesus Christ. But many people seem to ignore or overlook the amount of times that Jesus, I mean, how do you say it? Just drops the hammer of truth. Like, he stands in front of an audience and he's full of grace, but he proves he's also full of truth. And I guess what I want us to ask is, well, why does Jesus do that? Why does Jesus, like, hammer the truth? He says it, and in love, of course, but he speaks the truth bluntly, seriously, and today, severely. Why does he do that? Why does he hammer the truth? Because that's what love does. Now, the way we say it is very, very important, but to not speak truth is not love. We must, again, you see someone floating down a river heading to a falls where they're going to die. You can be as nice as you want in that moment and be like, hey, want a drink? I'll help you along the way. And you can comfort them, help put some air in your inner tube. You'll feel more comfortable. You don't tell them that death is coming. That's not loving them. That's hating them. We must be people who are filled with grace. Yes, yes, yes. And truth. Biblical love is that. Jesus Christ is that. So he loves us enough to tell us the truth. And out of love for his church today, he warns us as to the attack from evil, listen, specifically on the truth. And Jesus, with clarity and severity, he specifically warns us today, his church, of false teachers. He warns us of wolves. And he warns us of disease that will inevitably attack his church. So Jesus Christ is building his kingdom. Satan is well aware of this. And Satan has always sought to poison the church in error by sending imposters into the church as wolves in sheep clothing, trying to get diseased trees to be seen and have impact again in the midst of God's people. And we got to be honest. I mean, Satan's clever. He's clever, and it's been a very effective strategy over the centuries. I mean, he has done so much damage and so much hurt and caused so much pain and wreaked so much destruction. That's why Jesus loves us today, by warning us, listen, this is gonna happen. You better be aware, you better be vigilant, and you better not be taken by surprise when it happens, because it will. That sets up our text now. I pray, like you are ready to hear, you're wanting to hear, and please, Bibles open and looking at Matthew 7 verse 15 right now. Matthew 7 verse 15, Jesus says this: beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Wow. You will recognize them by their fruits. That's one of the key statements for today. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. Interesting, eh? I mean, that's just so clear and so important here. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree, again, bear good fruit. Every tree, here's the severity, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Let's start with this study. Point number one, getting into it. Watch out for wolves. Their fruit will give them away. Watch out for wolves, church. Their fruit will give them away. Now, loved ones, notice too, whenever we're studying scripture, we always say this, it's true, context is king. When you're in a passage of scripture, if you wanna understand it in its fullness, what's around it, what's before it, what's after it. In this sense, Jesus says, verse 15, beware of false prophets. The context immediately preceding our text is what? It is Jesus teaching there's a narrow gate that leads to life. There's a wide gate that leads to hell or destruction. That's our context for this passage. The next thing he says after teaching, there's a narrow hard way that leads to life in Jesus. There's a wide road that leads to destruction that goes to hell. The very next thing, beware of false prophets. Why? Because here's what false prophets want to do. False prophets want to lead people away to abandon the narrow road. False prophets are sent, again, to lead people to ignore the narrow, hard way and to try to widen the road as much as possible, promising things they can't possibly deliver on. False prophets, again, abandon the narrow road. That is our context today. So Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Listen, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now, from the moment the church began, what has Satan sought to do? He has sought to infect the church with error. Again, to place imposters in the church. And we read here that these false prophets are described as ravenous wolves. Not my words, Jesus' words. Ravenous wolves. So they have a savage ferocity. They possess an appetite for destruction. They are rapacious. They are greedy for violence or harm. But notice in their desire for destruction, they look like sheep. Wow, it's dangerous. It's clever. It's so deceitful. It's Satan. It's what he does. So literal wolves, what? Literal wolves in this world threaten physical death. These false prophets or wolves, metaphorically, spiritually speaking, they threaten spiritual death. It says they come to you in sheep's clothing, meaning they appear to be genuine. They look the part. They speak the language. Satan is such a deceiver, he sends out these false teachers in disguise. They mislead so many, but their desire and intention ultimately is destruction. False prophets are sent by Satan to send people to eternal death. This is what they are designed to do. It's a very, very, very serious thing. And the New Testament has a lot to say about it. So if we do a quick summary of the New Testament, again, we gotta be aware of this. Like, we shouldn't be caught off guard. We have been warned, we're being warned today. Jesus is saying this, it's a serious passage. Elsewhere, it's very clear as well. Matthew 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise. This is speaking of the last days, by the way, the last days, and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Jesus says, see, I have told you beforehand. See, I have warned you that this is going to happen. Paul in Acts 20, he says, be careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw you away again, or draw disciples after them. Again, the warnings that we have had, let's go to the next couple of verses here as well. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And he says, and no wonder, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise then if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Listen, their end will correspond to their deeds. You will recognize them by their fruits. Again, very, very similar to our passage today. And then 2 Peter, at some point, we need to preach through verse by verse through 2 Peter as a church. Man, it is a very, very important text. Again, so much relevance for our day. These are just two verses. They're like 20 verses pertaining to the severity of false teachers in 2 Peter. Here's two of them. Peter says, and by the way, notice Jesus, Paul, Peter, they're all warning us of the same thing, right? This is real. But false prophets also arose among you, the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon them swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality. Interesting word that Peter chose there by the Holy Spirit. And because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. I mean, just important for us to have a brief summary and context of what the Bible says in terms of false prophets, its seriousness, and its severity. So beware of false prophets. Watch out for wolves. As Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruits. So what are the fruits of false teachers? And it's ugly. What are the fruits of false teachers? False teachers fundamentally lead people away from the truth of God's word. False teachers promote error, of course. Again, from the beginning, Genesis 3, Satan said to Adam and Eve, did God really say? At that moment, he's promoting error. He is leading them to sin, to wreak destruction upon them and every other human being that would come after them. False teachers, listen, they ignore the whole counsel of God. False teachers love to take a verse, rip it out of context, or rip pages out of the Bible, and they manipulate that verse to their own liking to promote their own teachings, ignoring what the rest of the Bible might say about that. False teachers soften sin all the time. They do not clearly state what the Bible says upon a particular sin. They don't teach repentance. They don't believe or teach that people need to repent of sin. It's so much about feel good, who you are, do whatever you want, again, drawing attention to themselves. False teachers eliminate the doctrine of hell. One of the clearest doctrines in Scripture, including in our passage today, and all around us again here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, false teachers, no, you're good, we're all good. There is no such thing as destruction. False teachers despise the doctrine of any kind of destruction in the end. False teachers, listen, despise brokenness and contrition. They despise brokenness and contrition because that's where life becomes real. Jesus Christ wants us to be a broken hearted more than anything else. God says, Isaiah 66, this is the one to whom I will look. He was humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. In Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Psalm 34, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, bankrupt spiritually in their own spirits, for theirs is the kingdom of God. False teachers hate that because that is the very heart of Jesus Christ. Us becoming so humbled and humiliated in our sin for our awareness of the reality and our tremendous need for the Lord Jesus Christ. False teachers teach a new sexual ethic. False teachers say what so clearly in the Bible is sin, and they say, no, it's not. Actually, it's blessed. No, it's right in the Bible. It's not. It's right here in the Bible. Yeah, I know what he said. Here's what he meant to say. False teachers. False teachers promise hope. They tell people, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. But they're actually leading people. That's what Satan does. He leads people to destruction. False teachers preach a different gospel. They teach a gospel that is apart from faith alone and grace alone and Christ alone. They come up with a new gospel, subtle switches and twists on it, which becomes no gospel at all. False teachers fake godliness. They present as holy, but they are whitewashed tombs. The difficult part of false teachers too is much of what they say can be true. You're listening and you're like, that sounds right. But then they leave out key doctrines or portions, which then makes their entire message false. False teachers love health and happiness, but they despise sacrifice and holiness and self-denial and death to self. False prophets disguise themselves. They distort the truth to deceive listeners. They seek to destroy the church. That's why Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Listen to what Martin Lloyd-Jones says on the screen for you about this. He wrote this probably 60 or 70 years ago. He says, the false prophet is a man who has no straight gate or narrow way in his gospel. He has nothing which is offensive to the natural man. He pleases all. He's in sheep's clothing, so attractive, so pleasant, so nice to look at. He has a nice and comfortable message. He pleases everybody and everyone speaks well of him. He is never persecuted for his preaching. He's never criticized severely. He is praised by the liberals and modernists. He is praised by the evangelicals. He is praised by everybody. He is all things to all men in that sense. There's no straight gate about him. There's no narrow way in his message. There's none of the offense of the cross. False prophets are devastating to any true church. It's interesting, in Jeremiah chapter 6, false prophets are detailed. And one of the things the verse says, false prophets so often stand up and they say, peace, peace. The Bible says, but there's no peace. They say, we're all good. No, you're not all good. This sin isn't a sin. Yes, it is a sin. They say, peace, peace. Everything's fine. You will be blessed. They say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Again, false prophets open up the gate to heaven so wide. Anyone can come. That's not true. I mean, anyone can come in terms of faith, but you have to turn, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way. They open up the gate for salvation, that like anyone and everyone will be saved. False prophets, again, they do not believe in the narrow way through Jesus Christ, grace alone, faith alone, and in Christ alone. They do not teach a hard way. False prophets, again, bless sin. If anyone, loved ones, again, you have to know the word. Because if you know the word, and it's so, so clear when you know the word, when someone stands up and they start saying what God says is sin, that it's a blessing, I mean, you're a false prophet. 100% you are a wolf. Like, it's so clear. God says it's a sin. It's so clear right here. They say, no, it's not a sin. Actually, God blesses. False prophet. Run. And that's not always easy, but it's absolutely essential. You cannot take something God says is an abomination and you cannot say it's blessed. That is absolutely horrific for the church. And this is what false prophets seek to do. So we must be aware. We must be vigilant. We must be on the watch. How are we vigilant? One of the things that has broken my heart over the years is how many professing believers just get swayed by every wind and wave of doctrine. It breaks my heart. The number one reason that you get swayed again by false teaching is you don't know the word. You don't know what's in the book. And if you don't know what's in the book, Hebrews 5 teaches us specifically on this topic. Hebrews 5 says, the author's like, hey, you're still feeding on milk and pablum. And because you haven't grown up, you're not on solid food. And solid food is for the mature. But it goes on, those who are mature have discretion and wisdom, the ability to discern between right and wrong, good and evil. If you stay as a child, you'll believe anything. Isn't that true? You go to your children, right? I've had 4 kids, obviously. Youngest now is 12. She's wising up to things. When they were young, I could tell them anything and they would believe me. 3 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old. Like, I can make up the outlandish stories and they don't know any better. They don't have enough maturity. They believe me. If you stay as an infant in Christ, in some case, you'll believe anything because you don't know. But you grow in the word and you're like, wait, you say, what? No, that doesn't sound right. You're listening and you're constantly filtering with the book in your mind, in your hands. And you're like, that is not right. That's why we're called Hope Bible Church. Hey, listen, bring your Bibles. Hey, I'm telling you, as we say all the time, like, you can't take what I'm saying or whoever else is here preaching just at our word. You need to test it. This way we don't read our Bibles so God will like us more. We read our Bibles because it's life. This is what renews our minds. It gives us wisdom. It allows us to understand again, to discern between good and evil. This is absolutely essential. It's what the Holy Spirit uses to speak to us and grow us and mature us. Again, if you're not bringing your Bible to church and if your phone's a substitute, then it's definitely a substitute for the Bible. But I'm big on, this, okay? And no offense, no emails about electronic Bibles, okay? I have versions too, okay? But just the whole point is this. You gotta bring your Bible. You gotta be in the word. And again, listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you don't read your Bible, all you got is one word or one action. Okay, like I don't know what's happening there. I don't understand it. How can we follow Christ if we're not in the word? I mean, honestly, can you give me a good answer to that? You say you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're not in the word on a regular basis? I don't understand that. You have to help me understand how that can possibly match up. How does that work? You say, I don't have time. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I've seen your social media activity. You say, why don't I? Listen, there are no excuses, man. There aren't. You feed yourself on that which you love. You feed yourself on that which you hunger for. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. You hunger for Christ, man. You're like, I need to hear from you. And look at how essential this is, right? We grow in the word and then we become aware and vigilant again of false prophets. I mean, it's just massive. So it's Mother's Day right now. And this week, I was just thinking, I want to honor, we have a group of moms. So the school that one of our children, two of our kids used to go, one of our kids now, public school. And there's a group of moms in this church that are prayer warriors for that school. And their desire to shine light and their desire to pray and guard truth and their desire to guard against false teaching that's coming against the kids in that school. It's so neat because a couple of years ago, I think I get the facts right. There's like three, four moms, whatever. Now it's like there's like a dozen strong or more in this school. God is bringing together and they're praying and they are going to the administration, parts of the administration. They're driving them nuts. Praise the Lord for Jesus' sake. And they are going in and they are praying through all the stuff and the power that's happening there. I'm so blessed by that. I can say this too. Like, you know, all the, you guys want to clap for that? I mean, clap for that. Amen. 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 I agree. And if some of you moms, you're here right now and you are part of this group, man, bless you. So awesome. And I don't know all the details, but my wife, Jill, who's part of this, she said to me this week that, you know, all these disastrous speakers that come in different ways and assemblies at school, whatever. I know that the last couple speakers that they've been praying so hard, the last couple speakers actually have had a Christian faith. And it's not like they're promoting the gospels of the camp, but they're not promoting the other stuff. You know what I'm saying? And there they are. And they're just like, wow, making a difference. And I kind of envision these beautiful moms that are praying. They're kind of like Joshua circling the school and praying again and blowing the trumpets at the right time, man, where the walls of darkness just fall to the ground. And to you, I say, keep going, don't give up. And you're here right now, what can I do? You can do something. You can do something. And the power of prayer and coming together and encouraging one another and seeking to see light shine in the midst of the craziness of our world, man, God is not done, we're not either. You can be used. And in this way, the seriousness of all that's around us, watch out for wolves, man. Be vigilant, be aware, and let's pray. Let's pray light. We got a prayer meeting this Wednesday, man. This Wednesday prayer meeting. And this church right here, you come and you pray together. Here we are coming this Wednesday. I forgot to say that last service. Tell all your friends. Prayer meeting. This Wednesday, we're having church-wide prayer meeting. Can't wait. Point number two, examine for good fruit. It's the proof of good health. Examine for good fruit. Why? Because good fruit proves good spiritual health. Verse 16. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. So Jesus is teaching now. Now, a wolf may be able to wear sheep's clothing and be found out in the end, but a diseased tree cannot pretend to be a healthy tree. We take out Jesus, we allow his metaphor here to be fully explained. Given time, he's saying, listen, the proof is in the fruit. So simply put, it's impossible for an unhealthy tree to produce good fruit. A thorn bush, using Jesus' words, a thorn bush cannot ever produce grapes, ever. Because the root determines the fruit, always. The root, if it's unhealthy, the root, again, will produce the fruit. That's why Jesus says in John 15:8, again, all these verses kind of tying together, but this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and proof. See, this is good for all of us to look at right now. Jesus is like, here's how you prove you are genuinely my disciple. Fruit, much of it.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here, and without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light.